Hello and welcome to the Online Business for Black Women podcast. I'm Keisha White, brand strategist for new coaches, consultants, and service providers. And I created this podcast for Black women who aspire to start profitable businesses online. Here we share transparent stories of overcoming the challenges that come with building an online business, along with actionable strategies that you can implement in a business of your own. To get started, download my free guide on the 5 easy steps to attract more high-paying clients in the show notes. So let's dive into the episode. Okay. Hi, everyone. It's Keisha White here for another episode, and I am here with Lauren Gall, one of the co-founders of Bava Virtual Assistants. So thank you for joining me, Lauren.
Thank you for having me. I'm so excited to be here.
Yes, I'm excited to have you. So first, before we dive into the interview, so tell us about your business, the type of business that you have.
Yeah, so I am co-founder of a virtual assistant company called Vava Virtual Assistants. And we basically, what we do is we provide back office support for small business owners or people that, you know, just wear a lot of hats in their day-to-day job. So that can be anything from, you know, scheduling, calendar management, the list is endless, but data entry, you know, client relations, and then we do a lot of online content creation, graphic design, and social media. And so we're just there to, you know, basically relieve some of your day-to-day pain points that you might see in your business that you definitely need to get done, but you maybe don't have the time to do it, and it takes away from, you know, growing your business. That's where we step in and we can help. And it's an outsourced solution, so it's, you know, the fraction of the cost of having somebody in-house doing the same work.
Very nice. Yeah, I know so many entrepreneurs benefit from that greatly because we all have so many hats we wear in starting our businesses. So yeah, so I'm going to rewind a little bit. So tell us about how'd you grow up and where'd you grow up?
Yeah, so I grew up in Dayton, Ohio. And I'm the youngest in my family. And so I grew up in Dayton. Went to Catholic school my whole life. And then after high school, went to Ohio State University, and then have kind of found my way to Atlanta, Georgia.
Yeah, well, perfect, perfect. And did you see any entrepreneurial influences growing up, or were you one of the first in your family to kind of branch off and start a business?
So that's a great question. I did have entrepreneurs around me, but I didn't know of like the entrepreneurship world when I was younger. Like, I didn't really have like a concept of it, but, you know, one of the really strong mother figures in my life, she ran and owned her own, beauty salon. And it was out of her house. And again, when I was little, I had no idea that that was, you know, entrepreneurship, but, now looking back, I'm like, oh yeah, she had her own business. She ran and operated it herself. That was really from what I can remember about the only, you know, entrepreneur that I knew in my life. It was a fairly new concept when I decided to go out into my entrepreneurship journey. And you know, I just kind of had to take the leap of faith because I didn't really have anybody that I could, you know, turn to ask the question.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Well, nice, nice. So I know you mentioned going to Ohio State, it sounds like. So did your college education or time in school influence you starting a business or not? Or do you feel like you kind of just branched off and just did something completely different from what you were doing in college?
Yeah. So what I did in college, my degree was in strategic communications. I actually always thought that I would work, you know, nine to five office job. I did think that I was going to go into entertainment when I was in, doing my classwork and finishing up at Ohio State. So I didn't actually get my entrepreneurship idea until after college. So yeah, so, but I will say the classes that I took and the professors that I had have helped me along the way. So looking back, I realized like it was really great that I had advertising classes and marketing classes and business classes, because those are the things that really did help me. And they still help me, you know, now. But as far as, you know, knowing that I wanted to be an entrepreneur, I didn't actually ever know that I wanted to be an entrepreneur until I became one.
I see. Yeah. Yeah. So that leads me, I guess, towards the next question. So how'd you get the, well, I guess what made you want to take the leap and to even pursue entrepreneurship? What was the catalyst that made you want to do that?
Yeah. So I, after college, got a job in sales, and I talked to a lot of small business owners. And what I was selling was, I was selling virtual receptionists and eFax solutions. And I, mm-hmm. so I was talking to all small business owners, and they all had a need for, you know, what Vava offers today, but they either typically didn't have the money to pay for somebody in-house, or they didn't have full-time hours. And I, to this day, remember the conversation that I had with my dad. I went out in the hall and I was like, "Hey dad, like I have this idea. Should I do it? This is, it's going to be a side business. Like it'll, I'm going to do this." And I just remember thinking like, this is such a crazy idea, but I really think that there is a need for it. And, I went home that day. I talked to my roommate, and then she not really introduced me to my business partner, but cause we did know each other, but we didn't know each other well, but we kind of, I guess, reconnected and then got together the next week. And that's kind of how we started and how we kind of moved forward with the idea. But yeah, just seeing the need and realizing that there was a need, you know, after we started it was really what kind of gave me the push to really go full time into entrepreneurship.
I love that. Yeah. Cause even I feel like, cause I came from a sales background too. And I feel like most salespeople are just focused on their quota and just what's in front of them in the day to day. And they're not even thinking resourcefully about how can I recognize a need here and see that there's a business opportunity there. So that's really cool that you were thinking like that.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. So I know you mentioned having a business partner. So what made you want to start it with a business partner, and how'd you know you guys were a good fit to like partner together to build a business together?
Yeah. So, I initially thought, you know, it'd be great to, you know, have somebody to bounce ideas back and forth with. I had no idea what like costs would be involved as far as starting the business. And just naturally I'm a people person. So I just knew that like, I didn't want to start it alone. And I wanted to start it with somebody. So that's initially why I, wanted to have a business partner. But then also when we met, it was like, we were old friends. Like it was like we had known each other forever. So we naturally just, it worked as far as a business relationship goes. She and I do balance each other out. She's very different from myself. You know, the biggest difference is, you know, I'm very much an extrovert. She is an introvert, but it works really well for our business, and how we operate. And she challenges me in ways that like I need to be challenged. And, you know, I think the same for her. I can't speak for her, but I'm guessing she would probably say the same. But it just really works for like the business that we run. Does that answer? Did I answer all the questions? I don't know if I answered everything.
Yeah. Oh yeah, definitely. Yeah. Yeah. That's important like when you're saying balancing each other out, like hiring people who maybe have strengths in an area, well, not hiring, but you know, partnering with people who have strengths in an area where you may not be as strong. So yeah, so definitely answered it for sure. So perfect. So tell us about like your startup phase. So I'm sure, how long did you take building it up on the side of your 9-to-5 until you guys made the pivot and took it all the way full time?
Yeah. So I think it was about two years or so before I took it full time. But we did see growth pretty quickly. I mean, we got our first client within a month of being in business. So that was really good for us because it kind of boosted our confidence. It made us realize like, okay, we do have a business. people like it, and you know, we can actually get business. Now that being said, we only kept the client for a month because we didn't really know how to retain clients at that time, but we were doing everything we can. So the startup phase, I would say, was 2 years. And during those 2 years, we were just marketing ourselves, getting out there, talking to people, getting new business, doing everything that we could and that we knew how to do in order to grow the business. And it was a challenge. I mean, I still had... So during that time, I actually left the original sales job and I went to a marketing job that was in the field every single day. So I really could focus on that and also my business as well, which was really helpful when in the startup phase. But yeah, I would say it was about 2 years for me. And then my business partner, she was on a little bit of a different track in the beginning, but I think she went full-time probably about 3 years in.
Okay, nice.
Yeah.
So how do you feel like you were able to, I guess, find those first few clients and really get your traction? Like, what were some of the strategies that you guys used in those early days to get things going?
Yeah, so in the early days, so our very first client reached out. I think I knew he was like an acquaintance from my job, and he had a need outside of that job. And so I was like, well, maybe we could help him with social media. And so it was pretty crazy. I was actually going to New York. He was based in New York and I was going to New York to visit family, that weekend, and that same week that he like reached out. So it just worked out really well that we were able to actually have an in-person client meeting or potential client meeting, I guess. And so that's when, that's how he signed. But as far as other people, I use Twitter. That was when it was a little bit more popular than it is now, for business. And so I used Twitter and I was just honestly reaching out to people that were from Ohio, people that I had things in common with, different VAs that already had businesses, which it wasn't a ton 8 years ago, but if they had businesses, I was asking if we could subcontract for them. So, you know, like basically do work underneath them to get experience. And then I remember I reached out to my high school to ask if they could put us in their monthly newsletter, and they did. And that's how we got one of our other clients. It's actually still a client today. So, you know, just various different ways, but I wasn't going to a lot of networking events. I just remember I was doing a lot of it online. Just reaching out as much as I could to the people that I knew in my network. And that's kind of how it started and then took off from there, you know, because people just, if they have a good experience, obviously they're going to talk about it. So word just starts to spread quickly. The other advantage that we have is my business partner came up with our name, and it is pretty, maybe I'm biased, but it is, a lot of people have told us that it is pretty catchy. And so we're memorable. And then if we just create, you know, an authentic experience for them, when we talk to them, they just remember us. And so that was another kind of unique way that we were able to get clients, and still do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, perfect. Yeah. You guys. I love the name Baba because it is easy to remember, because I was even looking you up really quick before I came on. I'm like, let me find the company really quick. And it was so easy, popped up real quick in Google. So, Yay. So good. So were there any moments, I guess, as you guys were building it up? I know sometimes when we are starting new things, we may have like moments where we don't feel as confident, or maybe we feel this imposter syndrome. So did you ever have any of that back when it was new, or do you even still have that sometimes now?
Yeah, I mean, we definitely had it, you know, in the beginning. Well, we've had it all throughout the time that we've had our business. And yeah, we still have it now. I think there are definitely times where I feel like you know, I'm doubting my capabilities, or I'm doubting, you know, myself and what I need to maybe send someone or say to someone. But at the end of the day, like, I have to remember that, like, this is our business and this is how we run it. And at the end of the day, I know that I'm a good person. My business partner is a good person. We're running a good company. We're running an honest company. And if somebody isn't seeing that, then that's on them. It's not on us, because we know who we are as people, and we know who we are as women. And, you know, we just kind of have to go with that. But, I over the years have really worked on, you know, just my self-confidence and things, because as a woman going into, you know, just different situations, new situations, it can be challenging. Because believe it or not, we're still judged when we walk into a room sometimes, and that can be daunting and it can be nerve wracking, but you just have to remember that the value that you bring to the table, and you have to just remember, you know, who you are as a person and go with that. And if they don't like you, I mean, it's one of those things, you just kind of have to let it go. If they don't like you, they don't like you. And there's a million other people out there that are going to support you and believe in you and believe in what you're doing. So just remembering that when you are in difficult situations.
Yes, I love that. Cause that almost reminds me of the Four Agreements book, where they kind of talk about not taking things personally, because a lot of times when people do act a certain way, it's because of them and maybe what they're dealing with, not really because of you. So perfect. So
yeah. Great. I remember we had one lady one time, or I don't remember if it was a man or a woman, but they came back to us and they said, well, your agreement is way too long. So I'm not going to sign up as a client. I'm like, okay. At the end of the day,
I have to do it anyway.
Exactly. It's like, what? Yeah. Okay. Well, you know, we're just covering ourselves, because, you know, we just need to cover ourselves. I mean, it is what it is. Like, you're entering into an agreement and you can't, like, I'm sorry that it's not a page long for you, but you know, things like that, that it's like, then you start to, you start to question, like, well, is it too long, or do we need to change it, or, you know, and you just, again, you have to remember, like, this is the business that you're in and you created that agreement and you're happy with it. So, you know, go with it, you know?
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. If you have your policies in place for a reason. So, when people don't understand, it kind of almost weeds out. Those may be your problem clients anyway. Sometimes when people nitpick about things like that. So sometimes you dodge a bullet with those types of folks.
Definitely.
So as you guys grow, I know you've definitely had a lot of great growth as far as your business goes. With how many employees do you guys have now, or like how many VAs on your team now?
So we have, I think, about 40 VAs, and then like five or six on our core team, like our leadership team. So like our account managers, our recruiter, our strategy director, things like that.
Wow, that's amazing. So what do you attribute that growth to? Like, what were your strategies in like building out that big team and making sure you get the right kinds of people on board and keeping it all organized and running smoothly?
Yeah. Oh man,
I know it's a loaded, maybe your top two or three strategies.
Yeah. So, I mean, we just have naturally grown over the years. Like, we started with one, obviously, and then we just, over the years have grown the team, because of our clients. I mean, so the way that it kind of works is clients really get, you know, a certain number of hours per month. And like I said, in the beginning, it's not full-time work. So, you know, one client might get 10 hours, another client might get 20. Well, put that together, that's 30 hours. And so we've just naturally grown so that we're not overwhelming people with work, but we're growing at a good pace. So like, if, you know, we try not to overload VAs, we try not to give them more than like, you know, five or six clients at a given time, just so that they can focus. But as far as the strategies goes behind building the team, that, I mean, that was one strategy, is like not overloading people. So just making sure that we have the VAs that can do the work. But I would say as of last year, well, no, I would say a year and a half ago, or maybe 2 years ago, was when we brought on someone to do our interviews for us. So Melanie and I didn't have to do our interviews ourselves, because what we were finding is when we were interviewing, we weren't hiring the right people, and our rate of the time that they would stay with us was like so low. And now that we have a recruiter on our team that just literally does that for us every day, I think her rate of return is like 75% or something like that.
Oh, wow.
over the last year. So it is, she's been, you know, instrumental in our growth. And that's one thing, honestly, that sets us apart from like our competitors, is that piece, because we're able to really pair somebody well with the client, with what the client is asking for, versus like just hiring based on emotion. I feel like that's what we were doing before. And it's like, well, she interviewed really well and she's so nice. Like, okay, let's hire her. You know, there was like no strategy behind it. And now it's like, we're hiring for culture fit. We're hiring, you know, for skills, and are they a team player, and do they have, you know, like things like that, versus just, like I said before, just like emotional. But yeah, I mean, building a team is hard. Like, you have to make sure that, especially if you're like, a lot of our VAs are 1099s, but then our core, we have a couple people on our team that are, you know, full-time W-2, and, you know, just remembering that, like, or knowing that, you know, what your numbers are, so that you can make sure that you make a good choice when you are getting ready to hire or hiring, and not just like hiring, you know, when you think it's appropriate, like making sure that, you know, your budget is aligned with what you want to do.
Perfect. Oh yeah, it makes sense. Yeah. So as kind of like your clientele grows and the revenue grows, then also growing the team in response to that, kind of, instead of growing a bunch of people on your team and then not having enough revenue.
Yeah. And not having work too.
Oh yeah, work, yeah. Where they're just twiddling their thumbs. Yeah. Well, perfect. Well, good. So what would you say has been like one of the biggest challenges, maybe that we haven't touched on so far as building and growing this type of business with a nice big team like this, and doing this for, because I think it's been almost 10 years that you all have been doing this, right?
Just about. Eight and a half.
Yeah. Yeah, you're close. Yeah. So what's been one of your biggest challenges over like this last 8.5 years, and how did you overcome it and like push through?
Yeah, so I would say there's a couple of challenges, which I can kind of go into some of them. One is obviously scaling. That is a little bit challenging because, one, we've bootstrapped this from the ground up, so we've taken no funding or anything like that. So just scaling to the point that we... having a plan in place to be able to scale, and like making decisions based on scalability. Like, is this going to be effective in the long run? Is this going to be effective when we have, you know, 1,000 clients? Like, making those decisions versus just like piecemealing it together and using like Band-Aid effects, like just to get us by. So that's been a challenge. And then the other one is, maybe not necessarily a challenge, but like a lesson that I've learned, is like, you can literally never stop marketing. Never. Even in the time that we're in right now, you can't stop marketing. You can tweak what you're saying, but you can't stop. You can't just all of a sudden just stop what you're doing. Like, there's so many times where I get people on the phone, potential clients, and they're like, I need help with social media. And they haven't even touched it since August of last year. And it's like, okay, yeah, you definitely need consistency. But we even saw it like a couple years ago, I want to say it's like 3 or 4 years ago, where I was like lacking a little bit because we were getting a lot of leads inbound, and like I wasn't having to like really work as hard to get new business because we were getting so many leads from like referrals or people that knew us or just in general, like people finding us on Google. And then I realized like when I stopped doing the marketing or when I toned it down, like 3 to 6 months after that was when we saw a lull in business. So just remembering that you can't ever stop. Like it just, it never can stop. And you can never stop marketing. And like I said, even now, you know, with everything that's happening in the world, like, yeah, you can tweak your message. Like, we're here for you. We're here to support you. We're happy to talk. Like, how's your business doing? That's still marketing when you think about it, because you're still getting out there. You're still making yourself known. It's just you're making yourself known in a different way. You're showing up for people. You're communicating that you're there to, you know, support them and there to help them when they need. So just remembering that when you are in business, because it can really affect you if you stop it or if you just rely on one specific thing to get you by in business.
Mm-hmm. Yes. I've definitely seen that myself, like, because my marketing, I kind of get tired of it sometimes. But like you, I know that if you stop, people forget about you or you're not top of mind to them because everybody has their own stuff going on. So for you to even be top of mind to them when they do need you, then you definitely have to be visible so they can be thinking about you when they need you. So perfect. Yeah. So good. So at this point in the business with 8.5 years in, so what motivates you to really keep going in the business and to keep building things up?
Yeah. So motivation wise, just knowing that we are still every single day providing a service to people that directly affects their day to day. It really fuels me personally, because I know and believe in like what we're doing. And I know we provide like such a great solution for somebody that, you know, maybe wears a lot of hats in their business and just needs that extra set of hands. That's really what fuels me. And I know it's like 8.5 years, like we all have burnout, like we all go through it. I go through it. I'm sure you go through it, Keisha. And it's like, I just have to remember that like we've been in this for 8 years, like that's going to happen. But, you know, hopefully the next day you'll wake up and you'll be, you know, back to what you were. And the other thing that I always think about is like, there's always going to be times in your business where you feel like you can't create anything, or you just feel like, what am I doing, or what's my next move? But again, as long as you remember and believe in what you're doing and what you're providing to people, that should be enough to kind of motivate you to keep going. If you don't believe in it and you don't love it and you don't, you know, it is like a job, then, you know, maybe it's time to search for something else. But that's kind of what motivates me. And I also love people. Like, I'm a people person. So I love talking to people. I love being on podcasts. I love talking to other business owners. Like, I love talking about what we do. And so the beauty of being an entrepreneur is that, yeah, you're doing something that you love, or you should be doing something that you love because you did it. You started it, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's a nice piece with entrepreneurship. Like, you get to design your lifestyle and just design your job. yourself. Yeah. So yeah, yes, perfect. So good. So what would be your advice? Just I think the last question to wrap things up. So do you have any advice to like new entrepreneurs, or particularly like unconventional advice you don't hear a lot of people sharing that you wish they would share?
Oh man, this is a hard question. Unconventional advice. Oh man. That's a hard question.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think.
Well, you can just, what you typically tell people, like if it was a college student, like, hey, Lauren, I want to start a new business. What would you tell me to make sure I do it well or to see success at it?
Yeah, I would say one thing is don't make quick decisions, you know, even down to like getting a logo. You know, if we had gone with the first logo that was presented to us, that I was like, oh yeah, that's okay. Like, we would be unhappy with our logo right now. And because initially when we first started our business, I was still, I was like afraid to speak up. I was like, well, she worked, you know, like 10 hours on these first, on this first round. I'm not going to have her, I'm not going to have her do another 10 round or 10 hours of work. But at the end of the day, like, that's my business. I need to be happy with it. So just making sure that you're not making quick decisions. You're whatever you put out into the world, you're very proud of. And you're not just putting it out just to put it out there. And go slow. I mean, do your research. Make sure that, like, what you want to start is, there's, again, a need for it. Because the last thing you want to do is put money towards something that, like, there really is no need. And then the other thing that I would say is look to the future. Like, look and see, like, depending on what industry you're looking to go into, maybe look and see how that industry may change 10 years from now. Like, currently we're looking at, like, AI stuff because we realize that, like, yes, there is a value of having the actual person doing the work, but eventually there's going to be, you know, a lot of AI development that's going to maybe potentially take some of that away. So it's like, how can we move our business in the direction of the future? But if, you know, as far as like somebody starting the business, what you can do is just really look at, again, what industry you're looking to go into and what trends do you foresee happening in the future to be able to prepare for that. And then how can you differentiate yourself? I mean, it took us until a year and a half ago to really realize that the differentiation that we can really focus on is the pairing process and the fact that we are US-based and the fact that our VAs have 12, a lot of them have, you know, 12 plus years of experience, but just figuring out what your differentiation factor is before you start the business is really key. And the other thing that I learned from you, Keisha, is like figuring out your niche. If your niche is this, don't go out to do something here. Like, stick within your niche and don't apologize or take work that's not within that niche, because that actually can be a really quick way to growth. I mean, if you're a graphic designer and you only design for law firms that are three people big and they're in this city, like, stick to that and don't do graphic design. You know what I mean? Cause it's like, that can be, and then once you get, cause what I've realized is once you get into that niche, your name will spread because people just talk. And that can be, again, your one big ticket to growth, quicker than if you just serve everybody all the time. You know?
Oh yeah, absolutely. Yeah, that definitely helped me with getting started and niching down to, because when I started doing design, I was like, yeah, I'm going to design for anybody that needs a website, all the people. Yeah. But then I kind of noticed I did like certain projects over others too. I didn't really like designing a store or like a subscription box, or I didn't like doing that. So it also helps you kind of niche down to what you enjoy more too. And it helps your growth. So yeah. So perfect. Yeah. Okay. Well, thank you so much for all of the wisdom that you share over your 8.5 years of experience. I love how much your business has grown. I really admire your growth for sure, because I don't see a ton of people who are able to grow something just with them, especially on, you got the idea coming from your sales job to bringing it into a big 40 plus person business. That's amazing. So thank you so much for all the tips you've shared. Yeah, you're welcome. So yes, you're welcome. So where can we get more from you? Like, if people want to keep up with you and keep up with Vava Virtual Assistants, or even if they want to find out about your services, where can they do that?
Yeah, so you can go to our website, which is just www.vavavirtual.com. It's just V as in Victor, A as in Apple, V as in Victor, A as in Apple, virtual.com. You can email us or email me, lauren@vavavirtual.com, or we're on Facebook and Instagram. Our Instagram is just Vava Virtual, and then our Facebook, you could search Vava Virtual Assistants and we'll come up.
Hey, well, good. Well, thank you so much, Lauren. Thank you for your time. I definitely enjoyed our conversation, and I will be having all that info in the show notes for everybody to go check you out.
Awesome. Thanks so much, Keisha. I really appreciate it.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you for listening. I hope you enjoyed this episode. Again, if you are ready to get started with building or growing your online business, download my free guide on the 5 easy steps to attract more high-paying clients in the show notes. I'll talk to you in the next episode.